Christoph and Tanya, thank you so much for being with me today on the podcast. I'm excited to talk to you guys. And before we get started, I just want to say these are really, really great friends of mine. We've actually known each other. Danny and I have known you guys way before the Enneagram was a part of any of our lives.
Yeah.
So we've known each other with and without the filter of the Enneagram. And you guys have been great friends for years. Tanya and I actually were in high school together.
Crazy.
And yeah, in youth group together.
And so, you all stole our first house. So there's that too.
Oh gosh.
Are we going to have that conflict here today?
Nope.
Are we going to have to explain that now?
No, we're good.
Okay. All right. Just all right. Good. We'll hash that one out later over dinner.
We did not steal our house.
So today we're going to be talking about the dynamic between the type 6 and the type 9. And I kind of want to get started just hearing your experience, how you learned about the Enneagram. I could just kind of ramble on and explain what the 6 is and what the 9 is, but I'd love to hear from your perspective. You just kind of describe each other from what you know and what you've learned, and then we'll get into some specific questions.
Awesome.
You want to go first? So you want me to describe the 6?
Yes, I would love that.
Okay.
No, I want you to describe him.
Okay. So Christoph identifies as a 6, and I guess my description of that would be
amazing.
Well, the 6 is called the loyalist, and so they are very loyal. Once they're convinced of something, there's no moving them from that, really.
Right.
So faithful, loyal, steady, definitely with an anxious, fear-based side for sure.
Uh-huh.
Which I know, so I've read a lot about the 6, but so I'm speaking from that, but also from my experience of being married to one. So threat forecasting is a big deal. So having a 6 around is really great because he will think of anything that could go wrong and anticipate that, prepare for that in a way that I don't. The downside of that obviously is that it can be a bit overboard at times.
Mm.
Like, for example,
we're all safe.
Right. So being safe himself and being a safe place and keeping the people he loves safe is a big deal for Christoph and all 6s. So that's a big motivator for him.
Yeah.
So that's how I would describe the 6. That's how I would describe the 6. In short, there's a lot more I could say about the nuances of how it expresses with Christoph. I'm sure we'll get into that.
But. Yes, we will for sure. Yeah, no, that's good.
So my whole journey to the Enneagram started through someone who is on staff part-time here at the church, Holly Webb, who was preaching the gospel of the Enneagram for many, many years and talking about it a whole lot. And I kind of dabbled in it and read some articles and did some stuff. And then she gave me a book, The Sacred Enneagram, as a starter book, which was terrible for me because it was really like, it just jumped right into it. And it made me not understand it even more and kind of like, I don't know what to do with this. And also having some ministry friends and relationships who told me, hey, you want to be careful with the Enneagram because it might, you know, murky your waters in terms of prophetic ministry or prayer. And so I kind of stayed aloof from it, to be honest. And then Misty and Danny came back in our lives relationally and, hey, here's a good book. Hey, here's this book, try this. And next thing you know, it started to really be intriguing particularly in our marriage. And so that process was kind of a longer haul for me, trying to figure out, is this a tool that's going to benefit my life and my marriage? Or is it going to be something that can make it difficult? And we had kind of been going round and round and trying to figure some things out. And then we've had I think married couples who are married for any extended period of time. We don't have fights all the time. It seems like we have one fight for 15 years. one way that we're arguing, and we were having that argument. And Tanya, I'll never forget, Tanya came home from dinner with friends and she took her phone and she threw her phone to me. I was on the bed reading the scriptures, praying, seeking the Lord, something, I believe, I remember correctly. She threw it, she said, read this. And I started reading this description and I didn't know what it was, but it was literally detailing the same argument that we've been having for the last 15, 20 years. Wow. And I said, what is this? And it was this, it was detailing how sixes and nines mm-hmm. have marital conflict. And it literally read like our argument. Wow. And so at that point, I was like, okay, let's do this. And so The Road Back to You, Self to Lose, Self to Find, some of these other resources, great books that, and conversations with you, Misty, in particular, started to unpack for me the value in this thing. Right. And so that, you know, how it served me, how it served my marriage, and what it means, you know, my wife identifying as a nine.
Hang on real quick. So I didn't address how I came to hear about
the I'm doing a better job because I am afraid I'm not.
No, you're both now, doing great.
I've basically heard about the Enneagram the same way through people. And but I didn't really dive into it until I had heard about it more in depth, probably even that night, looking at some things online. And then I read The Road Back to You. And when I read The description of the nine, it was like, it was crazy. Like there was no question to me. That's where I am.
Yeah.
So real quick, what's interesting, and this is part of his kind of like countertype six-ness. When something is very popular and everyone's talking about it, it actually makes me wary of it. He doesn't want to
mess
with it. And so that was actually, I would say, what kept him from looking into it more.
It's a negative way to say it. All of a sudden,
people were talking about it. It was kind of all the rage. Some people in our church, we pastor a church here where we live, and they were wanting to do small groups and read these books. And he was like, I don't like, you know. So I just think
that's
interesting. But eventually... Yeah.
That so rebellious.
It's rebellious, like throwing words around on a guy. It's a matter of, and really, you know, talking, having lots of conversations with you, Misty, and lots of other people, I've come to realize some of the things that I felt, there's that sixiness, that kind of like rebellious towards what's cool or what's in or what's all the rage, as my wife said, but also recognizing I've seen, at least I feel like hindsight, I was also reticent of people using the Enneagram the wrong way. They were really using it to type other people who didn't know that they were being typed. It was like a silver bullet. Oh, like you're that person, so you are going to respond this way. And those things really turned me off. But all that being said, my wife identifies as a nine. I don't know any of the terminology. What is that? What's the term?
Peacemaker.
Really?
Yeah.
Sure. The peacemaker. But you know, one of the things that I've really discovered, the Enneagram has helped our marriage more than any other book, tool, seminar, conference, effort that we've put into it. Truly, I can say that emphatically, and I tell people that all of the time in terms of their marriage. The Enneagram has tremendously helped understand my inner workings as well as my wife's, and it has helped me. You know, the beginning of our marriage, I found my wife to be incredibly indecisive. She would really grieve over making decisions, struggle with making decisions. And we're just talking about what type of cornflakes are we going to buy? We're not talking about should we buy this house? Should we have a second kid? But realizing, and then also we would have conversations or we would be counseling someone and my wife would say one thing, and then say something completely alternative, and then say something completely alternative to that. And the Enneagram helped me realize what a beautiful strength that is as a nine, someone who sees all sides, who is indecisive, and that's not even a good term, but unable to make a decision because there's this possibility, and there's this possibility, and there's this perspective. And I've learned now over the last couple of years to really rely on my wife's ability to see other sides. Maybe that's my sixiness, kind of being like, I know I don't see everything here, but here's my wife who sees all these different sides and sees all these different perspectives, whether it be our finances, our personal finances. We're on a journey right now, and she sees things differently. She's like, well, what about this? What about that? And initially in our marriage, I'd be frustrated. I'm like, hey, you made a statement 10 minutes ago. You can't make an alternative statement now because you're freaking me out. But in, you know, serving a church in the capacity that we do, raising three kids, we'll have a conversation, and then within 3 minutes, she'll have another completely different perspective. And the Enneagram really realize what a strength that is. So that's kind of what I have to say about that.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's great. And it's funny because you saying those things, sixes and nines together kind of have this usually a typically slow process in coming to decisions, coming into agreement on things, not in a negative way.
Yeah, we prefer the term healthy and holy, but slow works.
That's why I say not slow in a negative way at all. It kind of slow, methodical.
There we go.
Would be another word. That's a good word. And yeah, so that the two of you together kind of can play off of those things, and they can become strengths together, multiply strengths together.
There's that too, though, that we can be too slow, because I
true.
Do, you know, and again, Tanya's helped me realize even just how we handle personal finances, or how we've handled finances at the church. The elder team's really challenged me to, hey, be a little bit more not flippant, not a bad steward, but I tend to just make sure we have reserves, and we want the reserves to have reserves, and we need the reserves to have reserves, and that they need to have reserves. Right. And at some point it's like, hey, this is counterintuitive to growth, to health. And like I suggested, like operating at fear as an unholy and unhealthy circumstance.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. No, that makes sense. So let's dive into a little bit of what you guys have in common, because a lot of times when I talk to people that are in relationship, especially romantic relationship of any kind, it's like, we don't agree on anything. We don't understand at all each other at all. We're completely different, but actually the Enneagram helps us see how there are some similarities between different types, and each combination, for each combination, it looks different. Before we get into some of the stuff that I sent you guys ahead of time, is there anything that comes to mind, any examples of things that you guys have realized, oh wow, we really get each other in certain ways?
No, we don't get each other at all.
I know that's not true.
I think the willingness to the speed, like you said, and I think that's been a very, because I know other couples and other friends and relationships that they travel at different speeds, either, you know, decisions or otherwise. The fact that we want to talk through things for different reasons, perhaps, but I'm slow and she's slow. I'm slow because I want to make sure I'm threat forecasting correctly all over the place. She's slow because she's tabulating 143 different directions and decisions in that whole thing. So that's certainly a common theme that's been really good.
Yeah.
That's probably the main one that I see. Yeah. And right. I think because the sixes and nines were in that same triad, or not maybe the same triad. What's the wording? We go like
lines.
Right. When he's healthy, he goes to a nine. So we both have tendencies to move toward each other's number. So I think that helps us understand. So when I'm acting like him, I know I must be really stressed.
And when I'm acting like her, I know I'm doing well. So we're great. No, but honestly, that does it. We've in conversations with our children and parenting, when I'm doing well, we do a really good job of working through all the details or all the possibilities. And so I can definitely feel myself. I'm like, oh, I'm acting like my wife in a masculine way, of course. And that is a good thing. And it overlays and helps us to navigate stuff really well.
Right. Well, since you brought that up, and it'll still kind of keep us on some things that you guys have in common, I want to jump to something I was going to mention later. And that is when you look at the diagram of the Enneagram, you see these lines and these arrows. And in your case, it doesn't happen with every couple, but you are connected in those lines. And so, as you mentioned, you have your health and your growth. You guys are also both connected to a three, which I wanted to talk a little bit about too. But yeah, so you can find yourself sometimes kind of swapping places, and Tanya, that typically is a little bit more probably feet on the ground, laid back, doesn't tend to be as anxious. When you are under stress, you can also have that like mind racing tendency going on. And so you can either both be kind of in a six place together, or you can both find yourself in more of a nine place together. And it's always funny, I've talked to other couples that have that situation. And like, I talked to a five and a seven that are friends of ours, And he's a seven, she's a five. So when she's unhealthy, she goes to the seven space, which he says he absolutely loves because like, it's like just movie night, party night, nothing like no restrictions. And it's great. But sometimes being in the unhealthy space isn't that fun. Do you guys, what does that feel like when you both are kind of in that mind racing, anxious place?
Thankfully, I don't think it happens that often.
I don't think it ever happens because we would sink into a portal and we would never do that.
Yeah, like, I'm not sure why.
God is good. That's why.
Yeah, but thankfully, often when he's really stressed and anxious and down, I feel, and maybe because I have to, and there's kids
right.
in And so it's like, we got to survive.
One of us has to stay afloat in tread water.
Stay above water. I will typically be really low key, be able to encourage him from a place right. of, you know, life is good. God is faithful to it. Like, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
I like throw him a life raft. And then there are right. times I'm in that place. Right. And he,
we all just leave the room.
And he gets a lot better. With me. So it has been very rare. In fact, I can't think of a time, I'm sure there have been some, but where we've both been in that place to a point right. where it was detrimental.
We just suck our thumbs.
What's been more notable, and we've talked about it many times, is like, oh, I'm just so grateful that, you know, that you're not also in this low anxious spot
right.
At the same time. So,
right. And I'm sure if you were to look back over 20 years of marriage, you'd probably see progressive growth in that area that, you know, that you probably didn't even realize before you had this Enneagram language, you might've found yourself in that space more often.
Right. I think one, right. like whether or not we've been in the same space at the same time, I now see when Tanya's in that stress space because Good. Of the Enneagram. And I can feel it myself as the Holy Spirit's like, hey, and kind of triggers to, I've moved into this like unhealthy space because of it, no question, because of the Enneagram. So it's helped right. me see where she's stressed. It's helped me see where I'm stressed. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And what about the nine space? Do you guys ever find that you both can be there at the same time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the best, I feel like.
Good.
Not a doubt.
When we're both like relaxed, optimistic. I mean, not that nines, I don't know if that.
That's a strong term for you, optimistic.
Well, nines are in the optimistic triad grouping with twos and sevens, believe it or not. And so, yeah, there is an optimism to nines. It might not be as showy as a two and a seven, but you definitely have that tendency.
I mean, I guess what I was wondering is maybe in those times when we both are doing well, maybe I'm more like a three and he's more like a nine. So we might not both be in the nine space.
Right.
I mean, we are, but you know what I'm saying? I don't know, but definitely have experienced that.
I think, yeah. So like one present moment in particular, I think I can speak to this, is that she's been listening to some books and getting into some personal finance, just, you know, has found her way into that a little bit more for our personal finances. And right now at this moment, I'm in a healthy space. So I'm like tapping into a nine-ness of the possibility, the perspective, the other ideas, the different app that she wants to use, the different way of tabulating our finances and how we spend money. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But I do feel the pull, an unhealthy thing of like, this isn't successful. I'm not doing it right. And I realized those are all unhealthy three things. And so I kind of push myself back to that healthy, okay, this is another way of doing it. And she is tapping into a healthy three of, hey, this is going to be healthy. This is going to be good. This is going to help grow our, you know, help grow our finances and, you know, get to retirement and all that kind of stuff. So that's a real practical moment in our marriage right now where it's interesting because it's not just, and I think people sometimes will think, well, when the external sources make you unstressed, then you'll be in an unstressed place. But the Enneagram has helped me understand it's not external sources that make me stressed or unstressed. It's I can feel myself moving towards stress, say, no, I don't want to go there. I want to go the other direction. And it can help you. It helps me shift gears.
Yeah.
To say, I'm going to lean towards my nine-ness. And that's, you know, what has been really healthy and helpful for my application of the Enneagram. And that's why I think some things made me stand off from it, stand aloof from it, because people were kind of silver bulleting the Enneagram rather than realizing, no, this helps me move along my own personal spectrum.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's great. And I think it's really interesting too, how I love everything about the Enneagram. One of my favorite, probably one of my favorite number combination and movements with the health and the stress and everything is a 9 to a 3. Because I love watching a 9 that typically will tend to sit back and not really know how to move forward, even when they've got the idea or the desire, when they step into that space, become like a powerhouse, even like unstoppable at times. And then the interesting thing too is, I don't want to get into even deeper concepts right now, I want to focus on you guys, but the interesting thing is, for a 6 that typically will go to the unhealthy side of a type 3 and in stress, also has access to the healthy side of a 3. And I call that the missing piece. It's like a next step growth. When you've done work in your own integration, your own growth point in a 9, going to that healthy side of a 3. So you can have this dynamic couple when they both meet there, that become this force of, yeah, we've got this anxiety maybe underneath the surface, or we've got this like indecisiveness under the surface, but we're meeting here and we're going to get this thing done and we're going to make a difference. And I know you guys, and so I've seen you in that space a lot.
That sounds amazing. I'll have that.
Hey, believe it or not, you are there probably more than you realize.
As you're describing that, I feel like in our healthiest moments, that's how we parent really well. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Like that, as you described that, I feel like the only place that we've done that consistently, or that I could even see, would be in our parenting, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, there's more to it than that, for sure. I didn't mention, so now that we're in Williamsburg, Virginia, that we had been gone for a long time, we're back at the church that I grew up in since high school, where Tanya was at her family founded years ago. Danny and I got married in that church. We were in leadership together way back in the day. Now we're back and you guys are the lead pastors. Yep. So even in that, just the growth and the path that the church has taken. I mean, there's a lot of a combination of 6, 9, 3 strength and that. No, really, just the place, you know, there's always struggle in the process, but yeah, that's a lot of that is goes back to the giftings and strengths that you guys have. So
sure.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Tanya, co-founder of Simply Whole. Did you know that your diet and lifestyle are the number one predictor of your health outcome? Only 20% of your risk for disease comes from genetics, while 80% comes from diet and lifestyle. Genetics load the gun, diet and lifestyle pull the trigger. At Simply Whole, we empower people to adopt a whole food lifestyle through weekly nutrition coaching and easy meal planning. As a licensed nutrition coach, our meal prep specialist and I offer a personalized experience that meets your unique health goals. We love helping people create sustainable habits and simplify their eating choices with wholesome meals that actually taste good. We believe you shouldn't have to choose between your health and convenience, so that's why we blended the two at Simply Whole. For more information on the programs we offer, go to our website, simplywhole.org, or follow us on Instagram at simply.whole.
Hey guys, this is Misty talking now, and I am a beneficiary of the services of Simply Whole. I have been eating a primarily plant-based diet for the last 2 years, and I feel healthier than ever. I highly recommend their recipes and services. If you are looking to make a change in your diet or want more information about living a healthier lifestyle, check out Simply Whole today. And for all of you Discover Freedom podcast listeners, Simply Whole has an exclusive offer. Mention the code Discover Freedom when you fill out a contact form on their website for a 10% discount on any of their nutrition coaching packages.
So there's a lot of stuff that you guys have in common. The stuff that we notice more probably when in relationships is the things that we don't have in common, the things that we butt heads on. And so of course, 6s and 9s can be very different. A lot of their core characteristics can seem even opposite to each other. So I want to kind of talk a little bit about that and how that plays out for you guys.
We could probably... Here we go. We're coming off.
We're going to avoid conflict, though. There's not going to be any conflict. Tanya saying, please, let's stay away from any conflict, please. No, but we could probably come up with a list of 100 things that are different. If we look at the, again, if we look at the diagram of the Enneagram, you guys are in different centers of intelligence, which is the main triadic grouping. So Christoph's in his head a lot. Tanya's more in that gut triad. That brings a lot of differences in and of itself. Sixes tend to be, as Tanya mentioned at the beginning, tend to be a little bit more anxious, whereas nines are the peacemaker. They tend to be really laid back. And so there's that difference and having to navigate those differences. What are some of the main differences that you guys, that come to mind, or that you guys think this is where we really just maybe have had to do extra work of understanding each other?
That's a good question. What comes to mind immediately for me is what we do when there's conflict. And what I mean by that is when, the Enneagram has helped me understand about myself, this need for connect, I need to feel connected to people. And that's that my motivation in general in life is to keep connection with the people around me and to not feel any like big bumps and waves. I want everything to stay pretty steady.
Right.
And it took us years where like something would be bothering Christoph and I could feel it. And I just want that connection restored.
Right.
And he has no idea that I can feel it. And there's like a coolness there, you know, that because he's working through in his head.
Not like Jimmy Dean cool, like Ice Cube.
like stonewalling, not that, very subtle. But anyway, now I've learned he's. And anyway, so then I would say, I'll get back to that. But I'm like searching for what's wrong. Are you okay? Like I so desperately want to feel that connection restored and I'm not sure why it was lost and have learned that it's not intentional on his part. In fact, he's always surprised when I can tell something's wrong because he hasn't said anything, but he's like mentally kind of doing his thing and trying to work it out on his own. And I sense the loss of connection. And I would say that's where we've missed each other the most in our marriage. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't been until the last couple years-ish of really learning about the Enneagram and how we function within that to be able to appreciate that. So it calms me from, being okay, realizing I'm not in crisis mode, that I don't have connection with him right now. This is what's happening. And for him to recognize that it's very important for me that even when he's through something that I need to feel connected and this is how I feel connected. Yeah. So even just like figuring that out about each other has really helped us, but we're definitely very different in that way. That was the question, right? Different.
Yes.
I would say that's a big one I want to verbally process, and he very much is in his own head.
I don't say words until I think about them 15,000 times. And then very curated, very thoughtful. And so when she says things, which are still thoughtful, and she's a wonderful woman of God who thinks about the things that she says, but she says things as she's working them out. Mm-hmm. And she'll talk about this idea, well, and then this perspective, and then that thought, and then that perspective. And all the while I'm like, what are you? And I've realized, okay, she's actually verbalizing her identifying as a nine. So that's definitely been something that we're different. I think the way that we've handled conflict too, like actual in the moment conflict, I'd never want to, you were the one actually, Missy, giving the language first of recognizing, not only do I want safety, but as someone who identifies as a strong six, like more than wanting safety for myself, I've discovered I want to be a safe place for somebody else, for everybody else. And the more I love them, i.e. my wife, my children, I want more safety for them than anything else. And so when there's an argument or when I've hurt my wife, which happens on a regular basis, when I hurt her, I want to just crawl in a hole. I want to retreat. And so I start to move away and partially to recover my sanity, figure out what have I done? What am I thinking? What's going on? Because I'm so overwhelmed by the fact that I've hurt my wife. And she, as a nine, someone who identifies as a nine, wants to move. She's constantly moving towards me. So because she wants, like she described, that connection, she wants peace. And so we start this little dance where I'm moving away and she's moving towards, and I'm like, no, get away. Like, no, but come to me. And so that's definitely, and recognizing that's what I'm starting to do. That difference has a huge thing that we have as well.
Well, on that note, right. when some of the information you sent us under nines, it said, easygoing, of course, ignore problems, hide feelings, withdraw, disengaged. And I do see myself do that in my life, but definitely with him, I'm much more like,
no,
hey, I need connection trumps all of that.
Right. Yeah. That's good.
Sure happens in certain arenas of your life as a nine. I do think that I can see that withdrawn, disengaged, you know, if something feels really hard, even, you know, in the political climate and everything that's happened in the last couple of years, I just want to like go take a nap, go hide, hide out and wake me up when it's over. And I have
right.
to try hard to stay engaged. So in those ways, I can identify with that a lot.
Right.
But in terms of conflict with us, we definitely have opposite, which I'm not sure if that's an Enneagram thing or what.
I think it plays into it.
But it's like, I need to know we're connected. I'm fine with fighting it out, duking it out, but I want to know that we're still connected. When I feel like that's at risk, I feel panicky.
She's also like, and this isn't a difference thing, but someone who identifies as a nine, this has caused conflict in our home for myself and my kids. And I'm saying this for the first time in front of this computer. And so here we are. Here might start recording the recording because it might be a great moment. She's a professional peacemaker. Like she even took psychology and sociology in college. Like she's an incredible counselor, just talking with people, spending time hearing people. She's really good at making peace, bringing things together, seeing, and it's again, all those ability to see all the other sides, it's helpful. But when she's not at peace, I and the kids don't have any idea what to do with her. Because she's usually holding all of us together. She's usually not just refereeing, but she's the one that helps us find peace. And I, nine times out of eight, the first sign that I'm not doing okay is when my wife says, hey, are you okay? And that's when I realize,
maybe I'm not okay.
No, I'm not. Now I need to go figure it out. But so that's not necessarily, but that difference, like you can feel it when Tanya's not okay in the kitchen. The kids and I are like, we don't know what to do because she makes all of us okay. And that's not just a thing. That's not just a wife thing. That's no doubt the Enneagram nine-ness of her as well.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Talk to me a little bit about, so another big difference between sixes and nines is that the six tends to be more suspicious. And this is not just in your relationship, this is in general. And the nine tends to be very trusting. Is that true for you guys? And how does
So also, we've been married for what, 20 years? 19 years this summer. Mm-hmm. Most mornings I wake up and we sleep in the same bed. Most mornings my wife wakes up and she's rolled away from me. It's just the way the curve of the bed is, the way the land we live on, I don't know. And the first thought in my mind is she doesn't love me. That's it. I have to think that. I don't have to contrive that. I have a background of there's lots of divorces and adultery in my family lineage, which plays into that, which obviously probably plays into the wounding that has caused me to identify as a six. But immediately, without having to contrive any thoughts, suspicious, not like she's doing something, but that there's something wrong. And meanwhile, she has no thought or imagination that we won't be married for the next 47,000 years. I live in a constant, or used to, and again, this is one of the things that Enneagram has helped heal my heart and show me, oh, you're having this thought. And I still have those thoughts. I can't control them. I mean, I can't like stop their instigation. But so, you know, this morning, woke up, she's rolled the other way. And I was like, she doesn't love me. That's a lie. That's not true. And just move, you know, so I've gotten better at handling that. But there's no question, there's that I have a suspicion that something's going terribly wrong and I need to find out what that is. She meanwhile is like, babe, we're going to be married forever. And I'm like, but then there's the off of that, there's I tend to, I think in a healthy way, want to write notes and say, hey, I love you, I'm for you, because I'm reassuring myself that it is. While she's like, cool, babe, love you, you're great. We're gonna be married for 25,000 years. Like, why are you? But I'm like, please love me, please tell me we're gonna, you know. So there's a good side of that. And there's, she's gotten so much better over the years. But again, she's like, she just knows, oh, it's gonna work out. We're together. I'm here.
Right.
So that's one way.
Right.
I am very easily trusting. I do think I have discernment about people and things and situations, but a good example, we were just talking about this the other day, is I will start to learn something. Like, I love listening to podcasts. And so I'll start to listen, and I'll kind of go on this vein of listening to a bunch of and learn a bunch of information. And it becomes like, I want to apply it to our lives. And I'm
right.
to even fill him in on what I'm learning, because I know.
Really?
At times. Yeah. Wow. Where I'm like, I don't want to let him in to how into this I am, because you're a lot more like, hold, hang on a second.
Spoiler alert. Not good at that.
I know what conversation is going to be had at home tonight.
We're going to talk about this later. But again, this is an example of that. So as a 9, for sure, I know that 9s have a tendency to merge, right, with people around them. And that's one of the challenges, is showing up for
not with their
life.
Husbands, though. Not with their husbands.
Yeah, that's not his experience with
not
me.
A bit.
But I have merged with you a lot in ways that wouldn't be as obvious to you.
She wears wedding rings. She's merged in that way.
My point is, you've influenced me a lot in ways that are like, yeah, of course, you know, but
right.
That is a constant tension that I have to manage, and be an awareness of about myself, is that when I'm around people who feel very like, even a lot of the close friendships in my life are with people who are very confident, self-assured, strong personality, know what they think, I'm drawn to that. Because I don't always know what I think about things, I think, is what I've learned about myself. And I'm getting better as I'm getting healthier and maturing and growing. But I definitely can merge very easily. And so, for example, around my family, I will be around I have 3 older siblings. I think we've talked about this. Misty knows my family and knows all of this, but I will come home from a day of like spending time with my sisters, who have very strong personalities and opinions and are amazing women. But I will end up, there are a lot of times I just glean the good stuff, but it's also easy for me to feel like, oh my gosh, am I doing everything wrong if I'm not doing it the way they're saying it should be done regarding parenting, you know, all kinds, really parenting.
Hair products, I mean, finances, the Holy Spirit, church,
art. I have to fight to say that's how they are. I'm not that way.
Right.
Who I am. Show up for your own life, Tanya. Like, that's the conversation I have to have with myself. Be okay who I am, because I do, I can talk to anyone and see their perspective and what the strengths are. Anyway, so that's a frustration for sure.
Oh yeah, that Tanya hit the nail on the head. It's a frustration, because my natural inclination is to, when they tell me how they do it, I'm like, well, I'm not going to do it that way, because there's that identifier as a 6. Like, she challenges me, because she naturally gleans. She's like, okay, what's here for me? And I say, okay, that's for them. And we tend to have those opposite things that can cause conflict. Yeah. And I think Tanya's right.
But he also sees when that goes to an unhealthy degree in my life. And I see him rise up into that, or he'll almost get mad.
That's a nice way of saying it.
Not at me, but like at how easy it is to pull me along in a direction and get me to a place where I feel like I'm a failure.
Right.
And that person's success. Like, that's, it doesn't take much for me to get there.
Right.
And
right.
Where he has been a big voice to me. I forget where I was going with that completely, but we're very different in that way. Oh, it's suspicious and not suspicious or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Trusting. Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. Yeah. Now I know why Christoph won't use audio recordings and Marco Polo is like, because everyone else thinks it's great.
I don't use those things because they're terrible.
All right, we'll get into that conflict again when we have dinner next. No, that's really good though. I like hearing those examples. I think I just love how other people that are in this have this same dynamic or combination of types can listen and be like, oh my gosh, we're not alone. Like someone else gets it. Like this is how our dynamic is. And these are the things that we might have to grow in too. So I think that that's great. And I would like to know, you know, for other people that are listening to this, what advice do you have, whether it's for another 6-9 couple or whether it's for someone that is in a relationship with a 6 or in a relationship with a 9? What advice would you give them? Encouraging advice.
Encouraging advice. I think I would suggest, how do I say this? I would suggest getting as much resource as you can for the Enneagram, with the Enneagram for yourself. Mm-hmm. Don't figure out your spouse, let that tool help you unpack your own soul structure, your own stressors, your own healthy moments. Do that work and encourage other people to their works and their mm-hmm. moments and their soul unpackings, because yeah. I think I've found it can be really destructive when people start figuring other people out with the Enneagram, with any filter, with any tool, but particularly with the Enneagram, because the Enneagram is, there's such an essence and richness to it, right. That there's a lot of good to it, but then you can, as with any good, you can really begin to weaponize it, and
yeah,
people weaponize the Enneagram. And so I would just challenge people, if you're searching for a way to make your relationship whatever, healthier and holier and better, do that work on yourself. Don't read the Enneagram to figure out your spouse.
Good.
Because you want to work with your own filter and your own what have you. I think also I would suggest finding people like a Misty that know what they're talking about, because there are a lot of people who say they know what they're talking about and they don't know what they're talking about, but they know more than you. And that's a dangerous
right.
That. The resources that are out there are fantastic. Find lots of different angles. I found one person in particular, the artist, Sleeping at Last. I identify as a 6, so I'm a little bit emotional, I'm a little bit creative, and this gentleman is a music creative artist, and he wrote a number of songs, and that really ministered to me. In fact, I was on a run and I was listening to the song that talked about identifying 6s, and I was just weeping. I just started weeping as he was singing the song, because it was like my anthem.
And so
finding that, like, well, if you don't like to read, fine, find a podcast. If you don't like to podcast, get a book. If you don't like a book, get a song, use all those things as you possibly can to do work on yourself. Don't use it as a tool, because I think it'll eventually turn into a weapon, and that's no.
Yeah. And I want to say something to that, because I think that's great. I actually, I've been doing on Instagram, that I use kind of as a teaching platform, I've been doing series on these type combinations, and I have to be very clear, and I have to make sure that I'm doing videos and constantly reminding people, this is not so that you can go out, like read a description and say, oh, I want that type. This is not for you to go. No, this is to show you whatever relationship you're in, whether it's your marriage, whether it's a parent, whether it's a child, whatever it is, this is what the dynamic could look like. Mm-hmm. But I always try to clarify that any combination can get along. Any combination can be amazing if both types are doing their personal work and they are on a path to growth.
Yeah.
That's what's important for sure. Yeah. Yeah,
that's what I would say if I had to give a piece of advice, is exactly what you just said. Like, keep
merge.
Because it does help you. I think before the Enneagram, and not just in our marriage, but just in relationships, friendships, when there are differences, you know, it's personality based, but it's almost like, oh, what's wrong with you? People should think like me. Like, why don't people, yeah. if you assume that everyone yeah. thinks the way that you do and approaches life the way that you do. And I do yeah. think that Instagram is such a great tool because it gives you a language. It gives you the yep. ability to understand where they're coming from and see through their lens a little bit
exactly.
more.
Exactly. Yeah.
The light goes on as to why they communicate that way, why they say that, why they experience that way, why they show love that way. And
yeah,
I,
that's good.
One real quick, one podcast that I had listened to that had, I think there was a female six and she was talking, she was married to a nine and she was saying that, she often feels like her husband doesn't even care about her. And she talked to him about it and he was like, you're the most important, like I adore you. And he went on and on, like, how could you ever think that?
Because you don't see it.
And she learned that, like, oh, that this is how he is. And I don't know if that's a nine thing, Misty, you would know more, but I told Christoph about it, or I had him listen to that little clip and he was like, yeah, that's exactly how I feel.
Right.
He's so verbal and so often expresses so amazing, how he feels so about me loving. And what he thinks about me. And for me, as long as there's not conflict, as long as there's calm and peace, I like right. to me, everything's good. There's no need to do that.
Right. And it's understood. It's like,
a problem. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Because and for so, sixes, there's always problems. They're everywhere. But not see them.
Avoid. Right.
You're always sure. Just, you but get, there's, get ahead of it. You might not see it, but there's a problem. We'll find
right,
it.
Right.
You
know? Right. Even just that one thing of understanding each other in that way, that when yeah. I'm leaving you notes, like I need to do better at that. I need to grow. It doesn't mean I'm like, well, this is just who I am. Deal with it. Like, I think you
right.
meet in the middle, but, yeah. But him being able to understand, like, yes, I think all those things, this is how I feel about you.
I would, right. yeah. And I'll add one more thing. Like, it's helped me realize things across the board. So not only how we talk, how we interact, our physical intimacy in our marriage, how we parent, how we take in information. I mean, it's just, it has helped me have a better understanding of why I do the things that I do rather yeah. than just like, oh, I'm a guy or I'm scared. Right. Like, it's like, no, because right. there's so many different layers to it. And so how it affects my physical intimacy with my wife, how it affects my desires, how it affects my perspective on what that person is saying in that moment. It just, it goes all the way throughout. And yep. so once you have yep. that, once you've done more work on yourself and you start to see that, it just, it really becomes very, very helpful. And it doesn't stop.
Yeah.
You just keep digging.
Yeah. No. And that's a good example too, of how, as you learn these things, helping you know the questions to ask, you know, and using that example that you were just saying, Tanya, being able to ask the question, hey, how do you need me to show you and assure you that I'm here and that I love you, knowing that that could be that underlying fear or vice versa, you know? And so that's, I think that's great. And being able to realize those things. And like you were saying, Christoph, as you begin to understand yourself, you're able to communicate things more. And I always tell people that I work with, you need to start asking people that are around you. First of all, telling people I'm in this process, I'm learning these things about me. So if I do this, I've learned that it's because of this, and start to use that language and communicate and then ask the right questions. Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing how things that you for years you've just assumed or disagreed on. It's like, oh, OK, now I get it. Now I understand.
I yeah. think there's something out, like, you know, everybody's heard of the five love languages, or many people have heard that. Like,
yep.
that's like, and it's a great book. I think that everybody should read it. How to Say Sorry to Your Spouse is another one that Chapman wrote. It's like the five languages of apology. That's yeah. great. But that's like elementary level communication and knowledge of yourself. And I think we should do that. But I can equate it to the Enneagram and the things that I've gleaned from you, Misty, and from these other resources. It's like PhD level program that helps me understand what I'm feeling, how I can serve her, how I can grow and change and transform and continue the resurrection process that
yeah.
instigated in me. It's like, it's a whole nother level.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. No, that's great. This is good stuff. I wish we could keep talking. I interviewed some mutual friends, Scott and Lyra, And I was talking with them and said, I need to do another whole series about how each type combination parents and the dynamic of that. That's a whole nother conversation.
That's a thing.
Yeah. That's a real thing.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. No, but this is good stuff. And I really appreciate you guys being transparent and sharing your experience. And that's the purpose of this, is for others to realize that we can actually understand our essence. We can actually know why we do the things that we do, and stop just living in autopilot and actually be our best version, which is not only beneficial to ourselves, but as we know, being, you know, married and having children and being in relationship with other people, how other people also are able to benefit from that is just, it's amazing. It's a game changer for sure.
No doubt.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for doing this with me. Thank you for participating. Real quick, I'm going to give some bigger plugs to this, but Tanya, and I can tell that you're actually doing your own advertisement with your t-shirt today. I'm guessing that it says powered by plants. Yeah. Am I right? Yeah. So
he's like, oh, really? Really? I didn't know.
No, but Tanya, and then also Lyra, that was a part of the six and eight combination podcast, have a business called Simply Whole that I absolutely love, and I'm going to plug with these episodes. But if you're listening, go and follow them on Instagram and check out all the amazing information that they offer for a healthier lifestyle. So yeah. So we'll be seeing you guys for some good plant-based food soon. Yeah. And hanging out. But yeah, thank you guys so much. I really appreciate this time.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Love you guys.